Well, it's amazing how different people prepare for so many of the same things, and we prepare for the same things in different ways, isn't it? I think it's great to see that unique nature of people, isn't it? Sometimes it might cause a little bit of conflict at home, but, you know, preparing to go on that trip, one wants to pack the car a certain way, another one wants to just throw it in, you know. But it's great, isn't it, that we're so different in how we prepare for things. When I think about preparing for an overseas trip, you know, some people do it months in advance, making sure that everything's ready, they've got all their activities lined up, ready to do, and then others, well, they'll just leave it to the last minute, maybe make sure they've got a ticket, and then they just leave and we'll see what happens. When we go to the dentist, you know, I'd really love to ask, you know, how do you prepare yourself to go to the dentist? Do you actually brush your teeth, like, just in the morning? Or do you then go back again just before you go to the dentist? Make sure that everything's looking good. You know, we do these things, don't we? I don't continue in my regular pattern. I go back to the toothbrush and I brush just before I go to make sure it's looking okay and I don't have too many things going wrong. It's not going to help, but hey. What we do determines how we're going to prepare for things, isn't it? And today, the passage we're looking at shows us how to prepare yourself to live for Jesus in a world full of hostility. How to prepare yourself to live for Jesus in a world full of hostility. Now, we saw that last week we should prepare for suffering. We're sort of back there again, looking at how we can live in a world of hostility. But that's what this passage is about. And I want to just point out, we've got an outline in the newsletter here to help you know where we're up to. It'd be great for you to have a Bible open as well. That's going to help as we go through this passage together. And now the first way to be prepared in a world of hostility is to arm yourself. To arm yourself with a right understanding. We see that in verse 1. It says there in verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with this same understanding. Now, when you arm yourself, we generally associate that with getting ready for war, don't we? We get guns, we get ammo, maybe a helmet, get some grenades, you know, you're thinking green. We're getting ready, maybe some food in your backpack, maybe some other things, we're ready to go. Because you don't go into a war zone unprepared, do you?
You need food.
Yeah, you need to prepare yourself for what's ahead. And here Peter is saying, arm yourself with guns. Oh no, he doesn't say that, does he? No, what does he say? He says, arm yourselves with understanding. Now, what does he mean by that? Arm yourself with understanding. Well, we're looking at verses 1 and 2. And it says there, we're looking at 1 and 2, and it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding. Because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Arming yourself with the same understanding, the understanding is that Jesus has suffered in the flesh. Last week we saw that the sufferings of Christ were a type of suffering that we too would endure. He suffered once for sins to give us his righteousness. We talked about that last week too, didn't we? Through his sufferings, he made us to be like himself. When we trust in his sufferings for us, we receive his righteousness instead of the punishment that we deserve. It's about arming yourself with an understanding of the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus, which is Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And Peter is arguing that Christians will suffer in this life. And the way to protect yourself from that suffering is to arm yourself with an understanding of Jesus' sufferings or the gospel. Now, it seems that this understanding is about being mentally prepared for what we will endure. This isn't the first time Peter has said something like this in this book. He says to be prepared. Back in 1 Peter 1 verse 13, he says to be prepared. But notice that the preparation is about setting our hope completely on the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. We see that in 1 Peter 1:13. It says there, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded, set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's very similar in 1 Peter 3:15. It says there, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Both these verses point out that to be prepared is to fix our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus, to know and understand what Jesus did for you, what he did through his sufferings. Back in the verse that we're looking at today, in 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, we see that we arm ourselves with that same understanding. That is that Christ suffered in the flesh for you. It's about making sure we don't lose sight of the forgiveness that we've received through Jesus Christ. If you look again there on the slide, at the end of verse 1, it's speaking about Jesus. It's saying he suffered in the flesh and is finished with sin. It's saying that through the death of Jesus on the cross, sin has been dealt with. And it seems to me that verse 2 then switches to those who Peter is writing to, and he's saying to them, those who are born again into a living hope, that they live in the flesh, but not according to the flesh. God's people, armed with understanding of the gospel, they know that Jesus suffered for their forgiveness or for their sins, and because of this, they no longer need to be bound by the flesh. No longer bound to their sinful behaviour, rather they can now live for God's will. That is, they live the way God wants them to live, listening to his word, trusting the sacrifice of his son. Now, when I think about arming myself for a world of hostility, understanding is not always the first thing that comes to mind when I think of preparing, having an understanding. Maybe I'd think more protection. Maybe some people around me to help. Maybe even tools to help me, to help protect me. And maybe you feel the same way. We put tools and systems in place in this world of hostility. Is this how you prepare yourself for a world of hostility? Because it's not what it's saying here, is it? It's not saying find the tools you can to stop you from sinning. It's not saying make a big long list of all the things that you want to try and stop doing. It's not saying remind yourself of what you should and shouldn't do. What is it saying for you to do as you face a world of hostility? Arm yourself with an understanding of the gospel. Know that Jesus suffered for your sin, and as a result, put sin to death. Therefore, arm yourself with this knowledge, this understanding, so that you no longer live for the flesh, but that you live for God. Do you see how that is different to the rules and regulations that we often place on ourselves? And maybe they're helpful. But understanding that Jesus died for you means that you are no longer bound to the flesh and you are able to live differently. You can put sin to death and reject walking in the ways of the flesh because you've armed yourself with this understanding that Jesus has been victorious over sin for you. Will this mean that you stop sinning? Probably not. I haven't found that I've stopped sinning. But arming yourself with a clear understanding of the gospel is going to help you be prepared for the temptation that will come your way. And when you succeed or fail, you can rest in the understanding of the gospel that Jesus died in your place, and only through his sacrifice are you free. So the question you need to ask yourself here is, well, do you know Jesus and his saving work for you? Do you know the gospel and that it is the power of salvation for all who believe? because understanding the gospel will prepare us for a life with Jesus. That's our first point. Yes. The second way we can be prepared is to know that suffering will come. This suffering isn't like the suffering we might be imagining. It isn't physical beatings or shamed before a crowd. But this persecution is more subtle, isn't it? And it can come from those who are closest to us. It's suffering from saying no to things that our friends think are okay. In verse 3, he says, there's already been enough time doing the things the Gentiles do. And he gives a big list of things that they do in verse 4. Peter tells them that those outside of Christ, those who do not believe in Jesus, are surprised when you don't participate in the things that they're doing. He even says that they'll slander you there in verse 4. Now, this persecution comes from not living the way of the Gentiles. And you can see all of this in verses 3 and 4. He's saying, don't continue to live as you were, as people who haven't heard the good news of Jesus. Because you are people who have armed yourself with an understanding of the gospel. And you know this good news. And here is where the persecution comes. Peter uses the word Gentiles in this section to refer to those who are not following Jesus. And he says, Gentiles will slander followers of Jesus for not participating in the things that Gentiles want to do. What will Gentiles do at the end? Well, in verse 4 it says, they will slander you. See, Gentile behaviour has no regard for Christ and his gospel. And so when Christians say they're not going to do something because they realise it's not part of God's plan for them, that's when suffering will come, won't it? You may stop getting invited to things. You may become a killjoy, a wet blanket, a spoil sport. Because now you don't approve of what they believe is fun. And they will slander you. I remember this happened to me at a place I used to work. I worked in a factory. There was probably about 100 people in that factory. Many of them knew, especially in my section, that I was a Christian. They knew one other guy that was a Christian in my section. They used to go out for drinks and enjoy a really nice time together, but they never invited either of us. In many ways, I was glad. I look at the list of things here and I think, well, that's exactly how they behaved. They had no understanding that these things could cause them harm or were evil or were against God's good plan for sex and marriage and even with alcohol. That they carried on in unrestrained behaviour. And because my workmate and I did not approve, well, we were left out. And most times they organised a time together, they would frequently say to us, you're not invited, so please don't come. So this passage was lived out in that place of work. And that's okay. Because each of us may come across this situation in our lives. Maybe not to the extreme that I experienced at my workplace. Maybe it will be with school friends. Maybe your uni friends. It may even happen as you grow in that same friendship network that you've loved for many years. People will find out who you are. And you'll say no, and they'll slander you because you don't participate in the things that are unhelpful as a follower of Jesus. And that's okay. Go in as someone armed with the gospel. It's okay. Because as you look at verse 5, what we see is that God will deal with them. Verse 5 says, they will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is the judge. It's not our role. He will judge all people at the end of their life. We live in a world of hostility and we need to be prepared first by arming ourselves with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, knowing that those close to us might reject and slander us because we hold on to what the Bible says about living for Jesus. But as we're slandered, as we're forgotten, told we can't go, we can know that all that suffering will be dealt with by Jesus. So as the suffering comes, hold on to the gospel and know that Jesus will deal with what might seem an injustice from those we love to hang around. And this is where our last point takes us. Because as we prepare for this world of hostility, Peter again tells us to cling to the gospel and give glory to God. In verse 6, it starts with, "For this reason." For the reason that Jesus will judge all people, for that reason the gospel was preached. And as you look at the verse, it sounds a bit strange. It says that Jesus preached to those, or that the gospel was preached to those who are now dead. But it's referring to those who were alive while the gospel was preached, and yet they died, and now they are dead. And those people will be judged according to God's standards. They'll be judged on whether they trusted that Jesus' death covered over all their sins. That's what it's saying there. It tells us the urgency around people hearing the gospel. People need to hear the gospel in order to respond to the gospel. But no matter what happens to those who trust in Jesus, even if they're killed for their faith, they should know that they will stand vindicated, saved by God, because they've heard and accepted the gospel for themselves. That's the only way to be safe for an eternity with Jesus, and that is to trust that Jesus died for your sins, which means for those who are trusting Jesus, we need to be preaching this message to those who haven't heard, so that they too will cling to the gospel. And the urgency behind the preaching of the gospel has always been there, and will always be there. It's very clear. People who die without trusting in Jesus are heading for an eternity in hell. And while this remains true, there is a need for all of us to preach the gospel. There's a need for us to be concerned that the kingdom of God grows. It's one of the reasons why we talk about kingdom growth. It's why we have the material on our oikos, which is in the foyer, if you don't know anything about it. It's why we preach the gospel again and again. Because for people to be rescued, the gospel must be preached. And as we look at this, we see that there's an urgency to this as well. We see it in verse 7, where to be ready for prayer. In verse 8, to love one another above all, practicing forgiveness, to be hospitable in verse 9, and in 10 and 11, to use your gifts to speak and to strengthen. And why do we do all this? Well, the end of verse 11 is very clear. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, when you look at these things, what we see is a list of ways to live out the gospel that you've already armed yourself with. As you grow in understanding of the gospel, it will turn into love for one another. Hospitality, service of one another, will encourage one another, and all of it comes from a God who gives us strength. Now look at this and see that the strength we get from God comes from our understanding of the gospel. Can you see how all of this is related? All of this prepares us for living for Jesus in a world full of hostility. And right here in these last verses, it's for those who are born again into a living hope. It's saying to them, love one another, care for one another. Use what God has given you to care for one another with the gifting you have received. It's about living out the gospel change in your life. It's about practicing these things so that as a follower of Jesus, you can express the gospel to those around you. And the end result is that God is praised because of what you have done to love and care for others. And all of it has come from God's strength in you. It's one of the reasons we have our Hospitality Sunday next week. It's an expression of the love we have for one another. Now, a lot of you are participating. It's great. We're going to have a good day. But the idea is that to be there for each other, to be there to encourage someone in the way you're able and in God's strength. So how can you prepare yourself to live for Jesus in a world full of hostility? Well, what this is saying is to cling to the gospel and give glory to God. That's what this point is about. Cling to the message of Jesus for you and let your life be an expression of God's strength in you, knowing that all your sins are covered and dealt with by Jesus and that we can live for him wholeheartedly. We can give him our whole lives, knowing that our eternal future is secure in Jesus. And it tells us that when we fail to follow God's ways, there's forgiveness. It's why we can keep working on things for Jesus, knowing that our successes and our failures are held tight by Jesus. Do you trust that Jesus covers over all your sin? That's the basis of all that we're hearing today. It's why Peter is talking to people who have been born again into a living hope. So how do you prepare yourself to live for Jesus in a world full of hostility? Arm yourself with understanding. Know that suffering will come and cling to the gospel. And as you do, well, your life will give glory to God. Now let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you for helping us to know that the saving work of your Son Jesus. Thank you that we can be safe in you. We thank you that through the gospel we have your strength to cling to you. And we can say no to sin. We can love one another. We can look out for one another. And at the same time, when everything falls apart, we can then turn to you and say, "Sorry, Lord, please forgive us." And we do receive forgiveness. Lord Jesus, help us to lean on you and your gospel. Help us to know your forgiveness and to live it out each day. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.